This episode is sponsored in part by Viral Sweep. When was the last time you ran a sweepstakes or giveaway? If you're worried about staying legally compliant or figuring out fair winner selection, meet Viral Sweep, the best viral marketing app for Shopify stores. With Viral Sweep, you could build, run, and manage all kinds of campaigns that drive traffic and boost your brand's visibility. Want to engage your customers? Use Viral Sweep's Instagram giveaway picker, or save yourself time with automated winner selection and prize distribution. Viral Sweep also ensures your promotions stay legally compliant so you can run campaigns without a hitch. Plus, you'll get impactful analytics and seamless integrations to keep everything smooth. Need help? Viral Sweep's support team has you covered with options for managed services too. Supercharge your customer engagement today. Download Viral Sweep on the Shopify App Store and start creating contests that grow your brand. New customers can get 50% off of Viral Sweep's annual plan. Just tell them in the live chat that the unofficial Shopify podcast sent you. That's Viral Sweep. What absurd opening do you have for me this time?
I found a Cuban place in Des Plaines. When I lived in the city, I don't live in the city anymore. I lived in the city of Chicago for very many years. And there was a Cuban place that I loved. Sandwiches, mango shakes, coffee, loved it. Moved to the suburbs, the death of all interesting things. And you just live in your car all day long. It's a nightmare. There's no ethnicity or like cool differences whatsoever. And so I've been dying for a real Cuban place mango shake, a licuado. And I've been trying to make them at home, could never get it right. And I found there's a Cuban place in Des Plaines, which is not far from our house. And it's a real-ass Cuban place run by real-ass Cubans, populated by real-ass Cubans. And me. And I am so excited because I've gone there three times in the last, like, 10 days.
Do they recognize you now?
I went in. My wife went for dinner one night. And then the next morning, I was kind of like, ooh, I want some coffee. I'm going to go get coffee. So I took my daughter, and we went and grabbed coffee there. And I feel like there was a tinge of recognition in the woman's face. Was like, wasn't that guy here yesterday? So I don't know. But I'm just psyched.
I like to hustle over to Highland Park to go to Madame Zuzu's.
Oh, it's, yeah. That's Billy Corgan's
wife's sandwich shop. And you go just to hope you see Billy Corgan, because he does just mill around, hang out in there. Got, some stuff going on.
I'm actually a fairly big pumpkins fan. So I would like some, cool pumpkin stuff that they might be for sale there. If I saw him, I would probably ask him to re-release the Zwan album.
He'd love that.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd love that. I'm like the only person in the world that loved the Zwan album.
So we're doing a AMA episode today. I have sourced questions from our Facebook group, Unofficial Shopify Podcast Insiders, and you as my business partner, longtime Shopify developer, show producer, just let that praise wash over you. Yes, Zen-like state of acceptance.
Really, you're going to help me here. I'm the platform you've built everything on top of. If I'm not here, you collapse immediately.
I stand on the shoulder of giants. A giant. Mr. Paul Rita. And so I love our opening question, longtime listener, Braden Steffenshine. I have butchered this man's name many a times on the show. He wants to know he wants to go hacker mode, dev mode. He wants to know the tips and tricks for sleuthing in a Shopify store. And just through troubleshooting Shopify stores, we've come up with a few. You showed me one today or the other day with, you could get a product page on Shopify to dump out a bunch of info about the product in a structured way.
Well, yeah, there's a data format called JSON, and that everyone just uses now. Like, the internet kind of runs on JSON now, as just like, here's a way to turn data into a portable, machine-readable format that everything kind of knows how to read. And that's how Shopify works too. Shopify stores everything and sends everything back and forth in JSON. So if you go on any store, and if you're on a product page, at the end of the URL, if you type in .json on the end,
.json,
like you're looking for a file, and load that, it'll just load all the data. It'll spit it out. I think in Firefox, in Chrome, it just spits out like JSON code, like unmoderated. Like, have you seen it? But Firefox does a really cool thing where it actually structures it.
Oh,
and like color codes it.
Gives you pretty print.
Yeah, it's all nice, and like you can click through and like expand and like close things and really read through the data. I mean, it's not like trade secrets. I mean, it's just like, oh, what's the name of this product? Like, what are some of the tags on this product? Like, what collections are it in? Like, when was it published?
Yeah, it's all the stuff that you would see in the admin listing.
Yeah. Well, not all of it, because as I discovered this week, some stuff doesn't come through in that. Like, it'll tell you what controls the inventory. Like, if it's Shopify inventory or the inventory is not tracked and that side of stuff, but it will not tell you how many are in stock. So you can't like game it to be like, ooh, there's only five left. I'm going to buy all five. Like, you can't do stuff like that. And then variant tags don't show up. I'm not sure why. I'm not even sure if product tags show up.
Tags do appear.
They do?
Yeah. There are browser extensions that are, it's like Shopify Store Spy, that kind of thing. And they're like, oh, here's all the information we'll give you. That's what it's doing. It's just loading that JSON endpoint and then parsing the info for you. When it barfs it out, it's not real pretty. You can give it to ChatGPT and be like, hey, you know, format this for me nicely. The problem is I had to do it. It misunderstood my intent and is like, oh, I'll optimize your product listing for you. It just starts, you know, like trying to write descriptions and stuff.
Yeah, if you're
knock it off.
If you're a total weirdo like me, again, like this one album, uses Firefox. I'm truly of the 1% of losers. Firefox is great for parsing web JSON. I don't know why, but it's all nice and very easily readable.
The other one, a couple other ones I like doing, /sitemap.xml is the store sitemap. You probably had to submit that to Google Search Console, but you could just load that up in any store. And Shopify is really nice. It groups it by page types. It'll be like products, pages, collections. And so often I'm curious, like, hey, what's in the pages? And so like that will have its own sitemap. And then I'll get all the URLs out of that, use a browser extension to load them up quickly. I think the extension, it's called copy-paste URLs. And then doing that, like let's say a store has 100 pages. Well, I'll just have all of their pages open in 100 tabs in Chrome, and then I'll just quickly go through them looking for, like, is there some promo landing page that's inspirational? Like, I figured this out for doing store migrations and SEO stuff, but just also an interesting competitive research tool. You do the same thing, /robots.txt, which you can modify that. This was rare, but maybe they've excluded stuff from being indexed in Google. And that, but it's got to define what that thing, that what Google shouldn't be looking at. And so then you just grab that URL and go see what the heck it is. The chances of finding something interesting there are pretty slim.
Yeah.
Or you just look at collection/all. By default, it's just going to dump out all the store's products. And then you sort by best-selling.
I mean, that's what I do. Because it's like, if I'm just as a shopper, sometimes I'm on a store and I'm just like, oh, this is definitely Shopify. They just have, and if I'm finding that the store has set up their product collections very stupidly or in an annoying way, and it's like, oh, all of these collections, there's all these collections and they all have two products in them and they make no sense. I'm just like, all right, now collections all. Like, give me all the products and I'll figure it out.
I do the same thing. The workaround to that is you make a collection with the handle all. Just /collection/all, you just make that, and then it replaces.
That's how you can kind of block it.
If you wanted to block this particular effort.
It's useful. I mean, it's just listing out all the products on your store that are available.
Yeah, and then you go sort by best-selling, and you can see what is the big bestseller.
Yeah, but and I sometimes as a user, I want that. Like, if they have, like, if it's a place that has very similar product listings, I'm kind of just, or even if it has a giant catalog, if it's like, I'm kind of interested in some of this stuff, but their catalog is 200 products. It's kind of like, okay, just show me the best selling one. Okay. That the best selling 10, the thing I want is probably in there.
Yeah. No, I do the same thing. And then there's like lots of tools and stuff, like Store Leads is a cool app that'll tell you, try and pull info about a store. So March 5th in the Shopify changelog, they've got this thing, the AI theme generator tool. We played with this earlier. What'd you think?
It sucked. Sucked. Sucked balls.
Ooh. All right. I don't think we could say sucked balls. So it asks, you have to be in an English speech. It has to be an English language store, and you have to be on like free trial, basic, or advanced plan, I think were the restrictions. Like, you have to be on a specific plan in an English speaking store. And then you give it like a short prompt, you know, maybe 200 characters max, that describes your store, and then it quickly gives you like three theme previews that are supposed to help get you unstuck. But I threw several. I tried this with you, and we gave it several different variations on prompts, and it just felt random.
It was just the same crap all the time. And to me, first of all, it would give you a homepage that had like three sections that were maybe just like, here's an image, and then text to the image, and then below that is an image on the other side, and text next to that image. Just like not even text that's relevant to your store. And so it's like, okay, what was the point of this? Like when you buy a theme, it comes with like a, you know, kind of a default homepage to kind of show off all the various sections.
Yeah, and they'll give you, you know, like four different options of that.
Yeah, and all that sort of stuff. That's just taking that and putting in your stuff is better than the crap that this thing put out. And the thing that really galled me is if it's running on the store, it should know the store name, products on the store, some data that's already been entered.
No, it seemed to be totally independent.
It didn't know any of that. Yeah. I mean, if you told me, oh yeah, you know, that Shopify AI theme tool, they just have a static template of 50 of images of 50 different themes, and it just picks three at random and just gives it to you. Like, yeah, okay, I could see that.
I 100% I could see this idea working, though, if it were like, you know, a little...
I could
if
see
it had a quiz.
Working if it used, I don't know, the JSON data available from any Shopify store to actually fill it out and make it look like it is your store.
I think there's a
it
reason.
It has no connection to the store it's being run on whatsoever.
That's what was odd about it. Yeah, it wasn't, we're not the audience for it, but I didn't find it useful.
Just because we're not the audience for it, it doesn't mean we can't see what the problem is.
You know, I like having Shopify Magic, which really it's like, in the theme editor itself, you can have it just rewrite headlines and stuff quickly for you. That's more useful than having this thing do it. Maybe, you know, it'll get somewhere someday. These things are evolving quickly.
Oh, like
other... But yeah, V1, not ideal.
Don't worry, man. AI, it's going to run the world real soon, I promise. Just give me 10... I just need $20 more billion this quarter.
And okay, just a billion?
That's it.
This for 90 days?
Just 20 okay. billion for the next quarter. And, oh... It's
Is that
run
for the
world.
Electricity bill?
It will, for everything. It's going to run the world, I promise.
How many GPUs do you need?
I need $20 billion, and I need SoftBank to borrow money in order to give me the $20 billion. But don't worry, it'll all pay off in the end. I swear.
I think the idea that AI could generate a decent store is totally plausible.
Again, because Shopify, great at data structuring. Super great at it. Kudos to them. Just, hey, could the AI ingest that data maybe? Instead of whatever the hell this is?
Yeah. No, I think you could make this work, but the version I saw, not impressing me at the moment. Sorry. I apologize. Additions.dev, Shopify's partner conference, is coming up in Toronto at the end of May. And Ann Thomas, our dear friend Ann Thomas, said, who's Canadian, we're not. I was like, yeah, hey.
She's closer to Toronto than we are.
She's like, all right, what are the hidden gems and must-see spots? I don't know.
She says Toronto, unlike us that say Toronto.
Toronto. Yeah, you got to drop. For sure that second T is not there if you live in Toronto. And she was like, oh, what's your favorite poutine spot? All of them? I really don't discourage. I've yet to have poutine where I went, that's bad. Right? Fries and gravy and cheese curds. I'm going to like it. We're a cheese family. That's how I get my calcium. But last time I was there, I went to Nom Nom Nom. It's a memorable name, Nom Nom Nom. And that seemed to be pretty fantastic poutine. So if you see Nom Nom Nom, check that out. And then, you know, if you're going for the first time, I mean, the CN Tower seems like the one tourist thing to definitely check out.
I mean, you definitely are very high. You are extremely high.
But not like Willis Tower high, formerly Sears Tower?
I'm pretty sure the CN Tower observation deck is higher than the Sears Tower observation deck.
I've been up there. I have a terrible fear of height. So for me, it was like an intense thrill ride. They've got that glass floor, and I had to really work up to standing on it. And then some guy next to me jumped, and I screamed. Not my finest moment.
I don't know. Go to a Blue Jays game. Check out Rogers Center with an E at the end.
Didn't you do that last time you were there?
Yeah, well, no, because I got my flight got delayed and then canceled. So the airline put me up in the super fancy hotel that like the Queen stayed at.
Ooh.
And then I got...
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. From the outside, it's beautiful.
Yeah. And then I was like, all right. And I was just like, what's the cheapest Blue Jay ticket I could buy right now? And walked to the Blue Jays game and went to the game that night. And so, yes, you could hang out in a stadium that is the most state-of-the-art thing anyone could conceive of in 1989. You know, that's cool.
Ever had a customer cancel an order because they were shopping while high or because they broke up with their significant other? Those are real reasons customers could cancel, and they're a real headache for both you and your customers. Why should they have to email support to change, cancel, or update an order? Enter Cleverific. With Cleverific, your customers can edit their orders themselves through a self-service portal. That means fewer support tickets, faster shipping, and fewer returns. Everybody wins. Peter Manning, New York, cut their order support by 99% with Cleverific. Now it's your turn. Listeners of the Unofficial Shopify podcast get 50% off the Pro Plan. Just $49 a month. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50 at checkout. It's less hassle, happier customers with Cleverific. Our next one, Jim McDonald and Ann Thomas, we're going to combine these, we're looking for Shopify market predictions for 2025. So grab ye olde crystal ball. You know, like, will Shopify stores increase or consolidate? Are they making more revenue or cutting costs? AI's role in e-commerce, hype or real value? I don't, can it be both? Can it be both hype and real value? It works both ways. What's your impressions? Where do you want to go with this?
Well, I'll just say our first 2 months of the year were bad.
It's slow.
We were like, ooh, wow, is this is how 2025 is going to be? Because this is not good. Then the last month, it's just been banging.
Crazy.
Like, it's crazy. So it all just like shot out of a cannon in the last 4 weeks. I don't know what to take
from
that.
That's our personal experience.
That's our personal experience. I know from economic data, the official economic data metrics that have been released are not bad.
Consumer sentiment's low.
Consumer sentiment is awful.
That's the one that's squishy.
But also like sort of the leading edge indicators. Like there was some manufacturing report I saw that came out that was like, oh, they like poll all these manufacturers every quarter or something. And they were like, oh yeah, we're like our demand is way down. And like, but we're also paying more for our products and we're paying more in salaries, but like we're not producing as much. So it was like, ooh, that's bad. And then I think the Fed said that like they've been downgrading the GDP numbers for this year several times. There's none of the things that people consider hard data, nothing bad has happened yet, but all of the forward-looking data is like recession is coming.
No.
So
I don't like the R word.
Take it that what you will. I mean, but then again, you know, I also remember 3 years ago when they're like, we will 100% be within a recession in the next 12 months. And then that just never happened.
Yeah, so, after surviving the pandemic, like if you survived e-commerce from 2019 to now.
And by survive, you mean swim around in your infinite money bank?
Correct.
See, that's the problem. The problem was people that like got the one-time, Scrooge McDuck cash infusion in 2020. I don't know, Peloton. And then decided, well, this is just how the world's going to be from now on. I'll just be making more and more on top of this. Uh-uh. You got a one-time special thing where people couldn't leave their houses. And like no one planned for that, apparently.
I think for sure the start of the year, revenue was softer for a lot of businesses. You would have seen lower sales. That's what we experienced. But not to a detrimental, unsurvivable degree. And then you're right. In March, really a phenomenal month for us. Which that surprised me, but happily, that's good. I still see M&A deals. Like, all right, M&A deal flow was lower, but in no way has stopped. Things continue on. Life goes on, largely, no matter what happens. But what changes is consumer sentiment. And so the things people are willing to buy change. But at the same time, we've got client stores that sell stuff no one needs. Like, right? Like, if I buy another T-shirt or whatever, my life is not going to change. But the stores that have some novelty, that are able to continually do collabs, are able to continually do releases, are doing stuff like live selling with video, they're doing really strong, right? They're up year over year. So it's not all bad news. And then Store Leads, which is like this third-party analytics app that gives you data about Shopify stores, according to them, Shopify stores Q4 last year over year were up 5%. So it's not like these stores are closing or going away. Mm-hmm. You know, they're net more of them now than there were last year.
So the answer is we don't know.
Yeah.
And if we did know, we wouldn't tell you. We would just put it all in the stock market, whichever way that was we thought it was leaning, and then would make money on it.
I don't think options trading is where I should be spending my time.
Well, I'm not saying options trading. Come on. I'm not stupid.
So, well, I hope Jim McDonald's got another AI question. AI coding. He specifically wanted to know if you personally use AI to write code.
I can't say I never have. I mean, I'll just be frank. I'm not the strongest at JavaScript. I can read it pretty well. I'm very good at planning things out. And so it's like, all right, there should be a thing right here that does X, Y, and Z, and that will solve my problem. But like the exact sequence of commands and parentheses and semicolons in order to make that thing happen, not the strongest at. Generally, I can feel my way through, you know, go on Stack Overflow, which is what all great developers do, is just steal from Stack Overflow.
Certainly no shame in
that. Let's be honest.
That's a rite of passage.
There have been multiple times that I have gone to ChatGPT and been like, okay, here's JavaScript that doesn't really work, but I want it to do this. Make it do that. And then the thing it spits back at me, generally like 90% works, but is like still not right all the way. But then like from there, I'm like, oh, I could see that that only, I'm smart enough to know that that only 90% works. And I can then like troubleshoot that. And then feed what it gave me back into it and be like, but here's the problem with this. And then it spits out another one and that one works. And so like, it's my partner in figuring this out.
I think that's the way, that's absolutely the way to approach it and use it. It's like you need a sounding board. You need a writing buddy.
Yeah.
You're doing pair programming. Only your partner is a dumbass AI.
Yeah. A dumbass AI that's like, yeah. Cause if it was just like, I want JavaScript to make the thing big, like that would not. It wouldn't give me something good, and I wouldn't know that the thing it gave me was bad, and then no one's right.
I view it as a way to get me unstuck, right? Or a way to copy edit, to troubleshoot, that stuff it's good at. Trying to get it to work, like develop something from scratch, could be frustrating. But I've been successful with it too, as long as you temper expectations. And so like I've had it write Python scripts that access the Shopify API and do stuff like update SEO, generate reports, add alt text to images, which it's like is shockingly good at. It could look at an image, understand it, and describe it back to you. Anything that's like a copy editing
text. Your alt text Python script is pretty sick.
It is. But you know, there's still catches with it. Like it can only pull the first 250 images. And then trying to get it to do more than that, the code got too complicated. And suddenly, like, now you're asking too much of ChatGPT. Now I'd have to move to something like Cursor, where it's purpose-built for this. And I've heard other people say, like, other LLMs are better at coding. But I don't know. ChatGPT is just the tool I know. And so that's what I go with. But absolutely worthwhile to attempt and explore, especially if it's like, all right, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm stuck on this problem. Now what? It's great for that. Ooh, Robert Williams asked, what's going on in my garage these days? Well, my wife had this 1984 Bronco that she dearly loved.
Oh, that's right. You got rid of the Bronco.
And it was time to go. The Bronco was tough to work on, right? This is a big vehicle. And if you get in an accident with that thing, you're not making it home. It's over for you. And so we sold the darn thing, bought a used Model 3 while they're super cheap. I now own two Teslas despite the fact that I can't stand Elon Musk. So very conflicted.
And you still have the Beetle?
And I still have our 79 Volkswagen Beetle, which that I can't part with. I love that car.
See, it's a very strange thing because like on one hand, you're like, he's got three cars. But on the other hand, for a very long time, it was like, yeah, two of them are over 30 years old and cost under $10,000. Like that's not
over 40.
Over 40 years old. Yeah. Yeah, so it's like, okay. He's really not. Like, anyone could have 10 cars if they all cost $3,000.
If three of them don't run. No, I like screwing around in the garage. Really, the thing that gets my attention that I focus on is screwing around with my e-bike. Oh, man, do I love being an e-bike guy. That's a good time. Yeah, I'll do like 30 miles round trip on that. That's exciting in Lake County.
In my garage is a Ford sedan and my wife's white Toyota mom SUV, and they sit there, and that's that. They are both used.
Yeah, that's the way to
and
be.
And no work is done on them.
All right, at least change the oil.
When it dings,
check the brake pads.
I take it to Jiffy Lube when it dings.
Oh, Jiffy Stooge. Oh, dear. Oh,
that's a good one.
Jiffy Stooge?
Yeah, well, I love any car forum, like, terrible names.
They're fun. Do they try to get you to replace your air filter?
Oh, every time.
At some point, you should replace
Sometimes
it.
Sometimes I do.
Okay.
When I'm like, oh, that one you showed me that you pulled out from under the desk, that does look dirty. Okay.
And then Robert's other question, Shopify related side projects. We're doing another app. We've got a successful app crowdfunder, does crowdfunding campaigns. And for our next trick, my favorite promo of all time, free gift with purchase. I want to an opinionated way to implement free gift with purchase in a store where this is the easy right way to do it, according to me. And so we partnered with Carl Meisterheim of Liquid Weekly, who's done development work with us for years. And we're building a free gift with purchase app. And I don't think I've shared that.
No, this is the first time you're mentioning it.
Ooh. So for people who made it like 25 minutes into this podcast, well, wow.
If you want to steal it, you better get on board because it's going to be out soon, I think.
Yeah, no, that one, we got one more thing to do before we're going to apply for the App Store listing. And then I'm going to start looking for merchants to test it privately with us and really like get some feedback and shape it. And then we'll make it available public at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's been years since Crowdfunder and the App Store is just, it's different now. It's much more crowded. And so I think this is going to be a different experience. I think it's going to be harder.
Oh, well, I have no doubt it's going to be harder, but I think our strength is all these big apps, they're all like platforms now and they all do 12 things. It's kind of just like, hey, I'm just going to be one app. I'm going to be one app. I'm going to do this one thing. I'm going to do it correctly. There isn't like a back-end admin that you need to like hunt through 10 menus to find the thing you want to do. Just come in, set your thing, and you're done. And I think that is our special trick.
Yeah, taking complex ideas and simplifying them?
Yeah.
That's my bread and butter, man. So, Tay Alfonso Brooks asked about Shopify video optimization, which this is a question we get from clients a lot. Like, hey, I have a video and I want to put it on my product page. Do I upload it to product media? Do I upload it to YouTube and then embed it in my product description? They get really paralyzed by the options. You know, a photo, people don't think about. There's drag and drop, done. What about video?
There's my answer for if I'm doing it, and then there's the answer if you're doing it, being the store owner.
if Paul Rita...
If I'm doing it, that page is covered in video, and, you know, half the images are actually videos, and they're like 5 to 10 second animated GIFs, silent animated GIFs, but they're video, that are just running on a loop. I encoded them myself and uploaded them to the Shopify file section and have put them in the page. That said, I have over 20 years experience doing this and I know what I'm doing. You don't do that because what's going to happen is you're going to have a video that's like, oh, it's, you know, it's like a little 400 by 400 cutie video in my description. But you uploaded it and it's like 2000 by 2000 and it's got a giant boom and soundtrack and it's 5 minutes long and it's 100 megs. And so every time anyone loads your product page, they're downloading 100 meg video. And so don't do that.
So upload it to YouTube and
I would say upload it to YouTube. Yeah. I think just the base idea of just like get the video on the page. Everyone knows how to use YouTube. It's everywhere. They already have YouTube JavaScript on their web browser. They already have YouTube installed on their phone. Like, put it all on YouTube and use the Shopify. You could put YouTube videos in your Shopify product media, and it'll all just work. And that's what you should do. Now, if you want to hire me, really just optimize the hell out of it, and you just live in a video wonderland, I would love to do that. But no one is willing to put forth the effort to have me do that.
If the it's true. I don't know anyone who knows more about video formats or encoding than you. It is one of your unexpected interests and hobbies. Like, truly. If I have any question related to video formats or encoding, I ask you, and you always know the answer.
I mean, I'm sitting here waiting because, you know, H.264 is a very old format, and we could all switch to AV1, in which the video will be like half the size. Very soon, the problem is Apple only started supporting AV1 on its phones last year, I think with all the 16s. With the 15 Pros, they supported it, but then all the 16s supported it. We just need to wait for all of the 14s and the 13s in the SE2s in the world to die. And then we know that we could start AV1 encoding these videos and they could all be half as big. That day is not here yet. I don't know when that day comes.
Hey, still struggling to increase AOV? You've built a great store, but your upsells and cross-sells, they're underperforming. That's because outdated apps rely on guesswork, and that costs you real money. Enter Zipify One-Click Upsell. Their AI-powered tech finds the highest converting upsell for every customer. No complicated setup needed. Over 10,000 Shopify stores trust OCU, and it's already generated nearly $1 billion in extra revenue. So if your upsells still run like they did 5 years ago, it's time to upgrade. Get Zipify One-Click Upsell free for 30 days at zipify.com/Kurt. That's zipify.com/KURT. Don't leave money on the table. Try AI-powered upsells today. So if I have a several-minute-long video like, hey, I'm the owner of the store. I'm going to walk you through this product. And we see that, like, Beav Brody from Tactical Baby Gear will do those for all their products. And then he uploads it to YouTube and then embeds it in the product description. I like those. But then they'll either record these directly or they're cut downs from the video. But it'll just be like, all right, we're going to show you this one feature on a backpack. And it's like how the bag opens.
Yeah, it's a bag in a pure white Jonathan Ivy space. Limbo. And, a hand reaches in and like undoes a little doodad. The hand pulls back out. So it's like a perfectly little looped 8-second thing.
So sub 10 seconds, no audio.
That should be a video. That should be a video that you have autoplay muted. There's flags you put inside the video tag, autoplay muted loop, and it just does that. It just runs constantly. It looks real nice. I don't trust you to do that because I've seen too many stores where that's there and then it's like 30 megs. And it's like, that should not be 30 megs.
But then, okay, the easy alternative if you're the merchant is like, oh, I'm going to convert it to GIF.
That's even worse. I mean,
that's the funny catch.
Yeah, the GIF is also going to be like 10 megs or
it's
like
12
megs.
It's such an old format and so unoptimized. The GIF will 100% of the time be bigger than the video.
That depends.
All right, when I've seen it, okay, your videos versus someone's GIF they provided us. I'm like, this GIF is 10 megs.
Yeah.
The video is 100K. Yeah. Yeah, video compression is impressive. Okay, so the safe choice is put it on YouTube.
Put it on, I mean, for those long form ones, and if you want to do like the really nice art directed GIF like just running videos, you gotta be sure you know what you're doing. I beg of you.
Next question, Ben Negendorf, who's been on the show before, he had a question about Google Shopping feeds, like if. When you've got a really fancy product page, and so the product page is broken out into the content on the page is broken out into meta fields, your Google Shopping feed that Google Sales Channel generates is not going to see or be aware of those meta fields. And so then the solution is you have to customize your meta fields. So in Shopify, they have those predefined definitions, and many of those relate directly to Google. So if you use those, I would think that the data feed could pick those up. But realistically, once you're at this point, use a third-party app to generate the Google Shopping feed, because the third-party app, much more flexible, going to give you a lot more customization options to generate, to take like whatever meta fields in Shopify and have that be what you want your data feed. The moment you're like, hey, I've got Google Merchant Center working for Google Shopping, but the Google data feed isn't quite what I want. Stop using that Google Sales Channel for the data feed. Move on to like Data Feed Watch, Feed Army. And those are just the ones off the top of my head, but there's several, Symprosys, that'll let you customize those Google data feeds. That's the trick. Lastly, the spam war. Somebody was asking about double opt-in for newsletters. Like, is that best practice? Pros and cons of double opt-in?
Double opt-in.
Combating spam.
Double opt-in is what?
I hit your Shopify checkout. The first field is your email address. There's a checkbox. Is that the checkbox says sign me up for your newsletter? One, is that pre-selected? Did the person check that? Or did that just show up by default checked? That's an option in Shopify. And then two, once they sign up, do they get an email saying, hey, click this to confirm the subscription? That's the double opt-in.
Okay.
And so the true double opt-in would be they had to check the box themselves and then they had to click confirm in their email. That's where we get the double from.
And the real way to do it is you have it checked by default and you don't notify them.
You know, I think, all right, if I'm entirely privacy compliance concerned.
Well, here the problem is then there's all these different jurisdictions. There's what the EU wants you to do. The state of California has passed an act that has like various regulations of what you got to do. So there's jurisdictional questions about where your customer is.
Yes. And rightly, you know, these various governments are starting to say, hey, internet privacy, you know, your personal information, someone needs to put some guardrails on what's happening there. The problem is it's a patchwork. You know, it varies depending on jurisdiction. And the solution that I've noticed Shopify start to do, and I love, is they try to automate it. You know, and they tell you like, hey, this isn't legal advice. We're not your lawyer, et cetera. But better than nothing, in the privacy policy settings, it can now try to handle a lot of that automatically, like whether it shows the data sale opt-in and opt-out, and the privacy policy page itself. And so in theory, it could create all that automatically and then keep it up to date on its own. So I like opting into those features that automate this. And I noticed in a store recently, they do the same thing for whether or not that opt-in on the email at checkout is checked. Is it checked by default? You can have it be like, all right, depending on where they're coming from, that's how we make that decision. And just let Shopify handle it for you. That's what I'm going with as my preference. But in the email itself, for sure, I would do the double opt-in. I'd have them confirm. Because like a lot of email providers, you're going to pay by the total number of subscribers you have. And so we don't want a bunch of junk in there. If it's also just, you know, spam bots, part of the problem with AI, I'm sure people have noticed that the sheer number of spam bots and like obviously fake customer profiles and checkouts that appear, those are scripts. Those are bots doing it. And so the double opt-in just weeds them out because they're not going to go confirm. You know, they did whatever bizarre, nefarious thing they wanted to do and then disappeared. So that's my answer. Double opt-in, and wherever Shopify says, hey, we could do the, if it's privacy related, Shopify says, look, this is what we recommend. Just do that.
I just send money to everyone's Hotmail account. I just enter your Hotmail account and we'll send you a coupon.
You just scroll through your spam folder. You're like, wow, look at all these amazing opportunities. What? There's a prince and he needs my help.
He's in Nigeria. Oh. He needs my help.
Mm-hmm. No, don't. Mm-mm. Those aren't real, Paul. Don't do that.
I'm old school. It's a Spanish prisoner.
The classic. It is the Spanish prisoner. I can't believe that used to be like a letter people would get.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, you know what? I should give this a shot. I guess the letter would seem more legitimate than an email.
Yeah. And so I think a person might approach you.
Also. Yeah. More legitimate.
Yeah.
No, just avoid those scams. Closing thoughts. Well, I'm excited for additions.dev, the Shopify partner conference coming up. That's always fun. High five with Harley.
Do finger guns at Toby. Will he do them back to you?
I don't think so.
Justin's not going to be there this time. I know you were hobnobbing with Justin the last time you went.
The former Prime Minister of Canada?
Is he no longer Prime Minister of Canada?
He was there. I can't, the man who just hands out selfies at that time. I can't believe I missed my opportunity for a Justin Trudeau selfie. Oh, well. All right, we'll end it there. See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.